My name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the South Creek campus pastor of Watermark, and it's so good to be with you this fourth week in a row as we meet together. Even though it looks a little differently, we're together, and that is something to be celebrated. And as well as the fourth week of being together, it's also the fourth week of our series called The Upside Down Kingdom. And so in this upside down kingdom, we're talking about what the kingdom of God looks like. What is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? We looked at different characteristics of the kingdom of God. The fact that the weak can be strong, the poor can be rich, that those of high authority actually serve those beneath them. The fact that it's upside down and Jesus came on the scene so many years ago and flipped the kingdom of God. Flipped what the kingdom of the world in the time was, exposing what the kingdom of God is intended to be. And so we kind of were talking about this, okay, the kingdom of God, well, what is the kingdom of God? We can say these words over and over again, but they can be confusing if we don't kind of define them. And so we identified the fact that the kingdom of God is anywhere that Jesus is king. It's that simple. That's really the overall takeaway of sort of this entire series. And so we're sort of diving in and how to live out that truth. The kingdom of God is anywhere that Jesus is king. So the kingdom of God is Jesus is reigning in heaven. So the kingdom of God is in heaven. Jesus is king of this place. And so the kingdom of God is within the eight walls of this octagon-shaped church. But if you call Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, the king, and he is king of your life, the kingdom of God is in your heart, in your soul, in your life. And as you leave the walls of this church, the kingdom of God goes with you. And we talked about the fact that we need to love like Jesus. We need to love intentionally. We need to seek justice for those that can't seek it for themselves. We need to do righteousness. What does that mean? Doing things in the right place at the right time for the right reasons, and also doing the right thing when we're not told we even need to, or doing the right thing when nobody's looking, valuing others above ourselves. So this is all sort of what we've laid out over the course of the last few weeks. And so we're going to continue to do that today. And it's interesting, the tagline of our little upside down kingdom graphic there is get used to different. Jesus came on the scene and did things differently. So for so many years, people were doing things the same way over and over again, and there was no real result of it. And so Jesus turned the tables upside down, quite literally in some cases, and was doing things differently. In fact, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result every time. So Jesus change that. He started to do things differently, and so that still applies today because he's calling us to do things much differently than the way the world is doing it all around us. And so today, we're going to specifically focus on an interaction that Jesus, the king of this kingdom, the king of the kingdom of God, the way he specifically interacted with his creation, the way he specifically interacted with individuals, and how he still specifically can interact with each and every one of us today, and then how he wants us to reflect that interaction to others. And so we're going to do that by looking in John 5, 1 through 9. And so this is the story we'll be in this morning, and it sort of give us the framework of one example of many, one example of how Jesus interacted with those within his kingdom. And so we see that, and John 5, 1 through 9 says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was a Sabbath, which we already should know that in those times, doing anything on the Sabbath was completely forbidden and against the law. And so Jesus is already doing things differently by healing this individual on the Sabbath. But so as we think of this idea of kingdom, as we think of all of what a kingdom might look like, how does this play in? Well, first of all, let's think about a kingdom first we don't really, and I've said this many times up here throughout this series, we don't really live in a kingdom. We don't have a king, we don't have a queen, we have a president, but there's still a hierarchy system. There's still a system of authority. And so I don't know about you, but when I come to thinking of authority, or even if it's your boss of your organization, whatever that is, it's often I'm filled with a feeling of being overwhelmed by even entering into the presence of these people. Like, it's intimidating. You know, I was over in England several years ago and standing in front of Buckingham Palace where the Queen resides and, you know, all of this thing. It's like, it's intimidating. There's guards out there, they're armed. There's not really like a very easy interaction between the peasants, myself, and the royalty, right? This doesn't usually occur very well. And it's sort of the same thing even with our bosses at work. It's not something we don't typically, hopefully maybe we do, but I don't think the norm is that the employee hangs out with the boss outside of the office. I mean, I get to do that a lot, but hopefully you do as well. But it's just kind of uncomfortable at times, right? And even with thinking of the president of the United States of America, if he were to be around, you know, we're not going to get political, but just the general term president of the United States of America, it's a little intimidating. It can be overwhelming. It's almost like you don't want to stick out in a situation like that. You kind of want to hide. And this is very similar to the days of Scripture. Of the Old Testament. I mean, Moses himself was called by God to go into the presence of Pharaoh, the most powerful individual of the time, and ask or even demand that Pharaoh set the Israelites, set his people free from bondage and captivity of Egypt. That would have been intimidating. That would have been terrifying, especially since Moses was like tongue-tied and he was like nervous that he couldn't even do the job. And so he does this. And we see this play out as well, this intimidation mindset or being overwhelmed or scared in the presence of authority with Esther. And we see Esther, and her husband is actually the king, and she is one of many wives. And to save her people, she needs to go into the presence of the king, which was an incredibly, you don't do that unless you're summoned. In fact, it says this in 4:11 of Esther, Esther 4:11. All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king has but one law, that they may be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. And so Esther boldly goes into the place where it's just not something you do. And I'll let you read that story on your own if you want. In fact, I'll give you a little sneak preview. I think in January we're going to do an Old Testament challenge. We're not going to be able to read the entire thing because that will be insane. But so many people love the New Testament challenge we did this year and have asked for the Old Testament, so we're going to do it in some bite-sized chunks. So we'll probably read some of these stories during that. But that's just completely off the subject. So this intimidation factor of royalty or of kingdoms and those of lesser class, the two didn't really often go together, and that was the same as Jesus entered into this world, and it was the same in those very days. And so if we think about that, and if we think that Jesus is the king and the of this kingdom of God, and that all of creation is really those that serve underneath him, if we really think of it like that, this situation at this pool of Bethesda in the story of John doesn't really line up with the way the world would do things. I mean, think about that. This is a pathetic scene. This is this pool of Bethesda is translated actually to like pool of mercy. It's where those that were down and out, broken and beaten and injured, paralyzed, lame, sick, diseased, would all hang out. It said there was 5 porches around this pool, and each of those porches would have a multitude of sick and dying people on them. It was a pathetic scene to be near. It was full of sickness. It was full of death. It was full of pain, it was full of agony, it was full of brokenness. And I can probably imagine, and I think you would agree, that a king in any general circumstance would probably steer quite clear of that area, would go nowhere near a position or situation like that. It's not somewhere you would typically see that happen. In fact, we usually see presidents and kings and generals and rulers and all sorts of people rule and perform their authority from the safety of behind a desk or behind, there's a front line of army in front of them. They're isolated. They stand back. They perform from behind. They're nowhere near people like this. And another reason people, maybe kings and queens and presidents and bosses, don't get put into positions like this because they don't want to be overwhelmed. They don't want to have things just piled upon them, people coming to them, asking them, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? And be bombarded with all sorts of different things. I mean, we see, you know, celebrities. We see Prince Harry. I guess he's not a prince anymore. I don't know how that works. But anyway, we see all these people out in public, and they're just, the paparazzi's all over them. They're like flies on them. It's crazy. We see the president enter into a conference or a press conference. It's just bombardment of reporters constantly needing and asking questions. It's insane. And it would be the same in this situation. Now, people in this time had not quite fully understood the fact that Jesus was king of this kingdom. They were, remember, expecting this Messiah or the Savior to free them from the oppression of Rome and be more of a militant figure, but Jesus was not that. But Jesus had all that knowledge, had all that power, had all the authority, and he did not act like that. He entered right into this situation. He entered right into this circumstance, filled with sickness, filled with disease, filled with all sorts of crazy circumstances that no ruler or king would ever really intentionally want to go be a part of. Jesus enters in. Jesus is present, like we just sang about, with these individuals. Jesus wants to be with his creation. Jesus wants to be present with those that are a part of his family, his creation. We see that the kingdom of God is not distant and impersonal like so many of the kingdoms of the world. It's close. It's welcoming. It's warm. It's present. So we see the first thing that Jesus does in this story, very simply, is that King Jesus associates as opposed to isolates. He associates as opposed to isolates. He associates with you. He wants to associate with you. He wants you to be able to welcome him into your presence, and he wants to welcome you into his presence. He wants to be one with you. He doesn't want to rule you and reign over you. He wants to rule with you, alongside you, as part of the family of God. That is a kingdom completely upside down from anything that we experience here in this world. That is the kingdom of God. I think so many times we feel, well, we can't enter into the presence of God. We can't be a part of this kingdom unless I do all of the right things and I check all of the right boxes and I do all, and I say the right things to the right people. But that's not the way it is. And so we do the same thing over and over, over and over again. Sometimes we get into the rut. I know our rut and our rhythm and our routine with COVID has been completely turned upside down in and of itself. And maybe that's a good thing. But we do the same thing. We're like, well, Jesus could never love me. He would never accept me or want me because I haven't done this right, or I have this part of my life is wrong, and I have all of these issues in my life. But he wants to come to you in your brokenness, just like he came to this man at the pool who had been sick for 38 years, probably doing the very same thing over and over and over, trying to get to this pool first. As it's miraculously stirred, we can't even describe or fully understand the scene that's taking place, but he tries to do this all the time, probably for 38 years, probably every day he was there waiting for this to happen. But then the very creator of the pool, the very giver of life, living water, comes into the scene and allows himself to be present with the broken. He wants to be present with you in your brokenness if you would just let your walls down. Stop trying to make sure that you're good enough, but just allow God to come to you as you are, because that's what he wants to do. Scripture tells us that he has not come for the righteous, but he's come for the sick. He's not all that impressed with people who claim they've got it all figured out and they've done the right thing. And that's what the Pharisees were dealing with all throughout Scripture. They were like claiming, like, I do this right, I pray like this, all of this is good. And Jesus is like, that's great and all, but your heart is in the wrong place. You're still broken and oppressed by sin, and I am here to rescue you from that, even in when you think you've got it all figured out. So we're all in that same boat. We've all got issues that we need our healing from, and Jesus wants to do that. Psalm 34:18. Says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus is present. He wants to be present in your life. He's not distant. And the more you spend time with him, as I say almost every week in this, reading the very words of God, understanding the heart and the mind of God, the more you'll feel his presence. The more you'll understand his presence. the more you can receive his presence. As you communicate to him through prayer, as you surround yourself with like-minded people so you can go out into the world and actually start reflecting this, which is sort of where we go next. Because as we are part of the kingdom of God, if we call Jesus our King and our personal Lord and Savior, if he is truly the King of our lives, if we first declare that our citizenship is in heaven, in the kingdom of God, we then can live that out within the kingdom of the world as we go out from here. And when that's the case, we then need to associate and not isolate. We need to associate and not isolate with those around us, with those that are weaker than us, with those that are broken, with those that are hurt. And I realize that's a big ask, and we'll get to that towards the end here, but Jesus wants to be with you in your brokenness, in your imperfection. And so we need to understand that everybody around us isn't perfect either, and so we can enter into them, and by doing that, we can be a glimpse of Jesus to them. As I've heard it said many times that the gospel of, you know, we may be the only gospel some people ever hear. They may never open the Bible. They may never read the good news that's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But you may be able to live it out and demonstrate it as you associate with them as well. And so Jesus does this in the scene. He's associating with these individuals. He's making a point to be present with them. And I think it's interesting because he doesn't just stop there, though. He takes it a step further. He doesn't just go and be present with them. He doesn't just wander through there and just acknowledge that they're there or just generally see them, but he actually initiates contact. And so let me explain by that. Let's read what happens in verse 6. Verse 6, we'll reread this. It says this, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been in that condition a long time, we don't understand how Jesus knew this, but he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's all-knowing, he's all-present, so he knows it. And the cool thing is if we acknowledge that Jesus is our Savior, we're filled with the very same Spirit, and so we can be given insight and wisdom sometimes in situations like this as well. So, but then he said to him, do you want to be made well? Jesus asks him a question. Not only is Jesus with him, not only is he present with him, with this individual, but he takes it a step further. I mean, let me put it into perspective like this. I think it's very obvious that many times in our life, we are physically present somewhere, but we are mentally completely absent, right? I think in relationships and in marriage, this happens often. I'll be on my phone or doing something in the living room. My wife will be calling me. I'm physically present there, but I'm ignoring her because I'm playing this June's Journey game on my phone, this like looking fine game, and it's my addiction, it's my like guilty habit I have. But anyway, so I'm like ignoring her, but even though I'm there, so many times we do that. So many times our bosses, the rulers, people of authority, they're present in places, but they haven't intentionally engaged because they haven't engaged their mind. They're not mentally even aware of what's going on around them. And I think we're all guilty of that at different times. There's a couple other ways we can acknowledge the reality of this as well, and that's with hearing versus listening. It's one thing to hear something in the background or to just acknowledge that something is going on. We're sitting in here and we're hearing traffic out back, but we're not listening for anything. There's a difference between hearing and listening. There's a difference between hearing people talk and actually listening to the words that are coming out of their mouth and engaging intentionally with them. That takes being present to another level. And that's what Jesus is beginning to do here. We also see it with our sight. It's very easy to just see a general crowd as I look out here, and every week it looks to be getting just a little bit bigger, and that's great. But it's different for me to actually look out into the crowd, seeing versus looking. This idea that, yes, it's easy to generally see things, but when you're actually looking for something intentionally, there's a difference there. You're actually seeking something, almost seeing versus seeking, seeing versus looking. So you have these different mentalities. Yes, we can be present physically, but are we mentally? Yes, we can hear people speaking and communicating to us, but are we actually listening to them? Yes, we can see generalities, but are we actually looking intentionally for opportunities that Jesus may be putting in front of us? And that's what we're seeing happen in this situation. And Jesus does this, he initiates this, he takes his presence one step further by asking a question. Asking a question. That is one of the most powerful ways that we as a people can engage with those around us, can intentionally be present with those around us by asking a question. It's one of the easiest ways that we can acknowledge the presence of Jesus himself, by through prayer, asking questions, asking, Lord, give me the wisdom. What would you have me do? And learning that through here, learning that through accountability, whatever that may look like. But Jesus asks the question. Many times when I'm counseling with people or if I'm just having conversations with people or whatever that may be, I will just simply ask questions more than anything. Sometimes people just want to be heard. They just want to share. When you're grieving with loved ones who have lost somebody, to just simply ask questions or just, it's just, that's the way that Jesus chose to initiate contact with people so many times. We see that happen so many times in Scripture. He asks more questions than he actually gives out statements. All through Scripture we see that. And so he asks this man, do you want me to be made well? To which the man responds, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. You see, all of the other people were around there. They could have helped him, but they're all sick too. They're all focused on themselves. And then we would have had people walking through this place every day. People would have wandered through here, but they would have just generally saw what was going on. They were just seeing it generally. They weren't looking for opportunities to serve. It was just something they would see. They would hear the situations. They were present as they walked by, but they weren't intentionally, mentally there. Jesus chose to step into the situation, to step into the circumstance, to step into the brokenness. He chooses to step into your circumstance. He chooses to step into your brokenness if you simply will allow him to do so. That is the power of Jesus as he's in this scene. And it points to the fact that without contact, there can really be no impact. Without contact, there can be no impact. And I think that's so true, first of all, for our own lives with Jesus. Jesus wants to connect with us. He wants to contact us. And I understand it's not like we're gonna reach out and he's gonna hold our hand physically. That may come though. You may feel that physically in some way or shape or form. For me, I connect with Jesus in nature. I absolutely feel connected to him as I walk through down the path that goes to the waterfall just behind us here. As I'm out riding my bicycle with my family or hiking or camping or whatever that is, I connect, I'm refueled. As I spend time in the Word of God, and all of these are ways to connect, to allow Jesus into my presence. So that's first and foremost the most important thing, that we allow Jesus to connect with us, to make contact with us so we can continue to change each and every day more and more like him. And then as we do that, we connect and we make contact with other people. And sometimes it just comes by asking God, show me what to do. Show me today who to interact with. Show me today what I should be doing. Allow me to ask questions that are encouraging. And I myself am super introverted. And it's ironic that I'm a pastor and I like have to talk to people a lot. And I do that and I enjoy it. But to refuel and to recharge, I need to go be alone and recharge that way. And so this concept and this thought of constantly having to go out and be on all the time and intentionally like asking people, there's a balance there. But that's the way we can reflect Jesus. That's the way we can be the gospel to other people. And we see Jesus doing this, and he simply tells us, go do this in return. He says in Luke 10:37, go and do likewise. Use the spirit that I have that is now within you to go out and reach this world in magnificent and powerful ways. First, I want you to experience my healing for you individually. First, I want you to understand what my presence feels like, and then as you understand that more and more and more, you can go and experience that more on your own, more and more and more. So just by being present and looking versus just seeing and making contact, we can actually start to love others towards Jesus. We can point people in the direction of Jesus in simple ways as we intentionally interact with each and every one of them. So the question we need to ask ourselves as we sort of slowly wrap up here is who and how can I help? Who and how can I help? That's a simple question that I try and ask each and every day. I remember a couple years ago, and again, I'm telling you, I don't get this right every single day. It's not like I'm out on the street corner every single day talking to everybody that walks by me. It just doesn't happen. And it's funny because sometimes I'm actually the exact opposite and the exact thing not to do. I will intentionally just like turn a corner sooner to avoid something. I'm that person. I apologize in advance. So I realize that there's that natural tendency is to be like, just leave me alone. I want to do my own thing. But God wants us to do more than that. He calls us out. And so but there's that pressure there, feeling like we have to help everybody, right? We hear something like this and we're like, oh, I'm doing terrible. I don't talk to anybody. I'm doing terrible. I don't interact with anybody but my own immediate family. And so there's this pressure that we have to help everybody, that we have to do everything. Well, look at the scene that we just read. There was a multitude of people around this area, and Jesus himself could have easily been overwhelmed by the situation, but he sought out, he looked, he seeked out, and he found this individual that he was drawn to, and he helped one. He helped one in the entire circumstance. We see him help and single people out all the time through Scripture. So maybe it's just one. Maybe this is one person in your life that you're like, you know what? I need to reach out to that individual this week. Or even the goal of, I just need to reach out to somebody this year. Anything. What is it that God would have you do? How and who can I help? Be asking yourself that question, but don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed with the fact that you maybe, or the thought that you need to help and fix everybody. That's not what we're experiencing here this morning. That's not what we're learning. And in fact, an interesting analogy to sort of wrap up with is, we were kind of discussing this message together, and Legos is a really good analogy. Now, I absolutely love Legos, and my all three of my children love Legos as well. My Camden probably loves them the most. I don't know if it's me or him that loves them more. I don't know. So we have a ton of Legos at our house, and an embarrassing amount, actually. And we love doing them together. It's a really good bonding experience for all three of my kids. Like, I'll search for the pieces, and he'll put them together, and we sort of do it together. And usually we'll take them apart and rebuild them, take them apart and rebuild them. I have a very, very, like, strict way of keeping them all individualized. Like, I don't mix the sets. Like, that's a no-no. I'm almost as bad as Will Ferrell in Lego Movie. I just don't glue things together because we take them apart. We rebuild them tons of times, so we get our money's worth. And, but you know Legos, even if you don't build them a lot, there's the four bump piece, the four flat, or the 4x4 square flat piece, or the 4x2, the most popular piece of all, like the 4x2 block, you know. And so the point of all this is there's connection points on there. And this is sort of maybe a cheesy but easy way to think of connecting with others. Oftentimes in our life, as we walk through life in our circumstances, the margin in our life is different. We're busier in certain circumstances. We have certain times where we're not doing as much. Maybe this time during COVID is that for you. I don't know. Maybe you're busier, but we all have connection points. We're all different size Legos at different sizes or different times in life. And so often we can either overconnect or underconnect with people around us. And so it's interesting, we as we ask God, who and how can I help? By understanding the reality of what we are today, where are there some free connection points in our life? Where can we connect with others? Not overconnecting, not trying to reach out to five different people at the same time when we only have margin for two, and now all of a sudden we're completely overwhelmed, nobody's winning because we can't spend the appropriate time with these people that need us. And we've completely overwhelmed ourselves and we're at burnout. And so there's this balance we need to play. But understanding through the wisdom that we get by the power of the Holy Spirit, what's our connection point look like? What size Lego are we? And again, that's kind of cliche and cheesy, but I like Lego, so I used it. But it's true. God wants to build something incredible. The kingdom of God is a remarkable kingdom that he wants each and every one of us to be an intentional building block within it. It's not a kingdom ruled by kings, ruled by presidents, ruled by superiority and people of more authority that make all the decisions. He wants to use us as co-writers, co-creators, co-builders in his kingdom as he continues to expand it and build it each and every day. And so he can do that by connecting you to other individuals who maybe already know him but need a little help or a little bit of encouragement, other individuals who don't know him and need some guidance and direction and hopefully maybe will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in which Jesus becomes their king and now they've been added on to this connection and the kingdom continues to grow and expand. It's beautiful when it's done in that way. We are active, intentional builders in this kingdom of God. So remember, first and foremost, the kingdom of God is wherever God is king. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. Is he king of your life this morning? If he is king of your life this morning, how can you begin to expand this kingdom with small, simple steps of engaging with those around you, with actually being present with those around you, simply by acknowledging them as you see them walk by, simply by acknowledging them by asking simple questions, by actually being present, just like the God of creation is present with you in this very moment right now. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of the presence of Jesus, the very King of creation. So I'm going to pray for us as we conclude. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask again. I ask it all the time, and I just don't ever want you to leave this place without the understanding that Jesus loves you. He wants to be your heavenly Father. He wants to be your King. He wants to use you in his story. And so maybe for the first time, I recognize a lot of you in this room, but I don't know, maybe your heart needs a check this morning and you need to acknowledge that Jesus is your Savior, that Jesus is your King, and that he wants to use you in the building of the kingdom of God. Your citizenship first needs to be in the kingdom of heaven. And then he wants to use you to live that out in the context of the kingdom of the world. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you are a king that wants to spend time with each and every one of us. You are a king that is present with us, and at times we feel it most even in our brokenness. You are there for the brokenhearted. Lord, if there's anybody in this room this morning that feels broken, if there's anybody in this room that feels beaten down or in need of healing, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, Lord, I ask that you would allow them to right now tangibly feel your presence in this place, because you are here with every one of us. And Heavenly Father, I acknowledge, and I ask anybody else to acknowledge with me, maybe even possibly for the first time, that you are King of my life, and that you, as King of the world, came down as a person to experience all that we are experiencing, to die a criminal's death in my place, so that I could be made right with you, so that I could be a co-writer in the kingdom of God. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Continually forgive me as I acknowledge you as my king. Lord, allow me to take the kingdom of God with me as I go from here, as I go out into the world. Show me places, show each and every one of us in this room places and individuals in which we can acknowledge and be with in present, we can be present with, and we can ask questions, and we can just simply live life with, Lord. Break down the walls of us feeling like we have to have it all figured out, that we have to have it all right, that you won't meet us where we're at if we're not perfect, but that you want to meet us in our imperfection, and then you want to work in us in powerful ways. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we acknowledge you, we acknowledge your presence, and we sit and rest in your presence in this very moment. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray all of these things. Amen.